Gasoline is about a dollar cheaper per gallon now than it was a year ago. That makes the decision to take a drive a little easier. It'll cost less. Some listeners can be forgiven if they're really not terribly aware of what the price of gasoline is because they drive vehicles that use little or no gas. Those kinds of vehicles will be showcased this weekend once again in Ashland as the second annual electric and hybrid show convenes on Saturday at ScienceWorks Hands-On Museum. One of the vehicles on display will be a device made for off-road use, specifically for use in agricultural operations. That's why it's called the Farm Dog, a creation of Rogue Rovers. We have two guests in the studio with us. Pete Jorgensen is the electric vehicle show chair and owns an electric vehicle himself. We'll talk about it in just a bit. Pete, thank you for joining us once again.
Thank you, Jeff.
Good to have you here, and good to have Melissa Brandau back as well, the founder and CEO of Rogue Rovers. Pull that microphone just a little closer to you, would you? There we go. Welcome back, Melissa.
Thank you very much, Jeff.
So, Pete, tell us, this is the second time around. How was the crowd last year?
It was really great for a first time out. We felt really good. We estimated there were close to 300 people there. Part of our gauge is the fact that there's no admission charge to the show, but we asked people to bring a donation for the food bank, and we collected 300 pounds of food last year. So it was a lot of fun.
It's not a sales event. You're clear about that. But do you hear over time from people that more of them own electrics or hybrids?
Oh, my. Around town, if you just look around town, you see it. I don't know what impact the show had of that last year. I was just telling Melissa a funny story. As part of our show, we raffle off an electric bike, and I'm usually on the plaza on Saturday mornings. And I spoke with a fellow there about a month or so ago. And about 2 weeks later, he came to me and he said, you know, you've really inspired me. I ordered a Tesla.
Really?
So I asked him, you know, when do I get a ride?
Right. It probably helps. I noticed that the Tesla, one of the versions of the Model S, just got one of the highest ratings ever from Consumer Reports.
Yeah, it's an amazing machine. The newest ones will even drive themselves. You can set your speed and the distance from the car ahead of you and take your hands off the wheel.
Really?
That's a little more nervy than I am, but...
And not quite legal yet in all places, I understand.
I don't know about that. He was just telling me it's available.
So just anecdotally, you notice a greater market penetration of people with electric vehicles, particularly with the electric bicycles.
Electric bicycles, you just can't turn around without seeing them, it seems like, particularly here in Ashland. It's just, there's a lot of them.
It's kind of a dead giveaway. You see people riding very smoothly up a hill, and their legs are barely... Yeah.
Yeah.
And then you notice that little box on the back that probably has the batteries and all
exactly.
that stuff.
Exactly.
Do you have any idea? I think about 0.5%, even in California, is what I'm reading about the part penetration of the market by electric vehicles.
You know, that's not a number I know, and I would believe that you're probably right on that. It's as you mentioned earlier, the price of gasoline is a negative effect probably on people's continued penetration into this market. Although, you know, the dealers, I mean, I see them selling a lot of electric vehicles, and I see a lot of them in town. And the great thing about them is they all have a range now, the minimum of about 80 miles. And so people who are commuting and just driving around, I mean, you can easily have an electric vehicle for your local driving. If you're going to take a long trip, you may want a Tesla.
But if you commuted, for example, from Ashland to Grants Pass or vice versa, you can cover that distance, charge up when you're at work, and then head the other way.
Exactly.
Electric vehicles, the topic here on the Jefferson Exchange. Pete Jorgensen is the chair of the Electric Vehicle Show, coming to ScienceWorks Hands-On Museum in Ashland this weekend. Melissa Brandau is with us as well, the founder and CEO of Rogue Rovers. Maybe you have an electrical vehicle. You get stuck in the old thing. Electric vehicle story you'd like to share about bicycles or something on four wheels. We'd like to hear it. 800-838-3760 by phone, by email jx@jeffnet.org. So, Melissa, this is not, you went chose to go for something that is not really an over-the-road vehicle, a different kind of market. So tell us about the idea for the Farm Dog in the first place.
Well, we wanted to focus on a commercial application for electric vehicles, and not only because electric is obviously the future, but because it has a better capability in terms of precision technologies and integrating with digital capabilities and robotics and sensors. So the focus for us was really to take a platform that could be utilized in a variety of capacities, whether it's, you know, mowing or traveling, just, you know, carrying a person or doing a variety of tasks within the orchard or vineyard So for us, it was really a choice to go electric because of all these other capabilities that it offered, as well as being very quiet and clean and, you know, being able to integrate with sensors. That's a very important part.
Help us understand that part of it, the sensors and the information and the other things. I mean, the farm dog obviously has a little cargo bin in the back, so you can
right.
you know, carry probably a few hundred pounds of something, but the information part of it is the part that takes a little while to get across.
Yeah, so the data is collected on board the system, on board the motor controller, and then that data can stay there or it can be transmitted via the cloud to a cloud-based system that you can get access to. And once you have basically the data flowing, there's no reason not to add additional auxiliary capacities, such as, you know, collecting temperatures within the orchard or collecting soil samples even, or video. And then also robotics. It enables robotics in a much less complex system. So you're taking a motor controller and augmenting its capabilities with robotics. So it's sort of data flow, combined sensors and robotics capabilities.
When you describe it this way, it sounds almost more like a Martian rover than a farm rover.
Well, actually, it's funny you say that because the inspiration of the vehicle was a lunar rover. Mm-hmm. So taking that lunar rover concept and applying it to the planet is essentially what we're doing. And I think that's really the easiest way for people to understand it. The lunar rover had just amazing capabilities on board, but that was, what, 40 years ago? You know, it's time to bring that to planet Earth, and that's really what we're trying to do.
We haven't been to the moon since 1972. I was just reading, yeah, so it's been a while. So is the farm dog meant to operate, as its name implies, without necessarily a driver on board?
Yeah, so driver or driverless. And to Pete's point of the Tesla, that capability is really inherent in an electric vehicle. So, you know, what Tesla's doing with sort of not proclaiming they're in the autonomous vehicle space, but sort of slowly getting there by way of technology, I think is a really savvy way of going about it. And that's kind of what we're doing, too. We're saying you can drive the vehicle, it can be an electric vehicle for you, or you can take it to the next level, which is starting to get into autonomous operations and data collecting. And truly speaking, more and more agricultural operations require more and more data. So we're there already. So we can start to collect more and more intelligence from within the orchard.
You mentioned orchard and vineyard a couple of times now. Is it not meant for a broader thing like a wheat farm or something?
It's meant for broader applications. We have a lot of potential customers that are looking at it that are vegetable farmers or you know, a wide variety of ranchers. But for us, you know, the greatest challenge is being able to operate within vineyards and orchards because there's so many obstacles and there's so many issues that have to be resolved. So that being able to apply it to that, we know that we've solved the problems of almost all the other small specialty farms.
Is there still the one prototype of the farm dog so far?
Yeah, we're working on additional now. So we got a grant from Oregon Best So rather than go into production immediately, we decided to focus on these enhanced engineering systems and auxiliary systems and make sure that the vehicle could meet those requirements in terms of the mechanical and electrical systems. So that's what we're doing now. We're working on those.
And you had some recent exposure at some place in Washington, D.C., I understand?
Yes. I was at the White House on August 4th. I was one of 30 companies that was invited back there to meet and greet with the president. It was called Demo Day, and it was essentially bringing industry and entrepreneurs together. And it was quite exciting. Nothing gets your heart racing as much as patriotism, and that was pretty much what it was, walking through the White House. Amazing.
That's great.
We're talking about electric vehicles with Melissa Brandau, the founder and CEO of Rogue Rovers, the creator of the Farm Dog. There are two G's in Farm Dog. It is a four-wheel vehicle. Looks sort of like a little mini Jeep, but it's all electric. Pete Jorgensen is the chair of this weekend's electric vehicle show at ScienceWorks Hands-On Museum in Ashland. 1 to 4? 12 to 4?
10 to 4.
10 to 4. Sorry. Okay. Didn't want to cramp your hours on you there. But you can join this discussion on the Jefferson Exchange. If you have questions about what you're hearing so far or things you'd like to add about your own experiences with electric vehicles, by all means, means, join us. 800-838-3760 around the region by phone. 800-838-3760. Email address jx@jeffnet.org. We were talking about the, the farm dog, which is something of the future, the Tesla, the present. Interesting to think about your own electric vehicle, which is one of those great old, is it a Nash Metropolitan?
That's exactly right. From 1958. Mm-hmm. And it's come to life again as a totally electric vehicle. I can drive it 50 to 60 miles between charges, which is great for around town. The old Nashes were not terribly strong vehicles, so I didn't drive it on the freeway or anything like that. But it has lots of power. I can go up any of the hills in town with no problem whatsoever, and it's a great car.
Did you do the conversion yourself? Was it a hands-on thing for you?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, mm-hmm. It's a lot of fun. Actually, this is my second one. I did an MG Midget years ago, but and just about conversions, one of the things that came out of our visit with you last year on this show is a fellow drove up from, and I believe it was from Arcata, with a Volkswagen that he had converted, and you know, that's not a short trip.
Right.
He had to stop and charge his batteries a couple times along the way, but it's very possible to do, and that's the big message. The whole thrust of this show is education, to try to get people to understand there's nothing to fear. These are great vehicles to drive.
And they're not necessarily wimpy either. There's a lot of power.
I have heard that a lot, particularly about Teslas, about the way that you can really throw your head into the seat rest just because there's so much torque in electric motors. I didn't even think about the physical limitations of trying to get all the pistons moving on a gasoline or diesel engine. But the fact is, you don't have that obstacle. That physical barrier just doesn't exist with an electric motor.
Well, the real issue, the electric motor, when it's not rotating at all, it has its maximum power when you apply the voltage. And so when they say 0 to 60 in 2 seconds in a Tesla, yeah, you can do that.
Okay, a couple of callers here. Let's go to Andrus in Medford. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange. We're talking electric vehicles with Pete Jorgensen and Melissa Brandau.
Yes, I have a question with your guest about a company that's claiming double the mileage on batteries. It's called SatKit 3. Have you heard about it?
SatKit 3, you're saying? Was that what he said, Andrus?
Correct. Yeah, it's MIT chemical engineering professor. She's done TED Talks, etc.
Okay. So, batteries, let's ask about that generally. Thanks for the question. Appreciate it. What do you you don't know about
you
that
know,
one specifically?
I'm not familiar with that particular one. I do know that the technology is evolving. People are doing work all the time, and that's the good news.
Yeah, I think there is, as I was telling a friend yesterday, there's incredible capacity for improvement in batteries. And so there was sort of a little drop in research because of the recession, but I think that's starting to come back. And we're seeing it. I think the impact of the price coming down, the capacity growing in batteries over the next several years will be significant enough to probably bring the price of an electric vehicle at least to parity with what a gas-powered vehicle is today. So I haven't heard of that particular company, but I know that there's just an ocean of opportunity coming in battery technology.
Is there some turning point that is perceived to need to be reached at which point batteries...
The tipping point, yeah. I think it's getting to the point, and that was actually the topic of an article I read this morning, how the Tesla drive around their power pack for the home will really drive the cost of the batteries down to the point where you will see cost parity or price parity, and that, to me, is the tipping point. When somebody can buy an electric vehicle and a gas-powered vehicle and they're the same price, but they know that they don't have to put gas in it.
Right, and the utility is essentially the same.
Exactly.
That's a big one.
You know, even if there's a restriction on range, but you're paying the same amount of money up front, that's pretty much the tipping point.
That would be a big one. Mm-hmm. Let's go to Ryan and Eugene. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange. We're talking electric vehicles with Melissa Brandau and Pete Jorgensen.
Well, and I really appreciate the conversation, as is often the case. The one thing that I was really curious about is in terms of urban commuting is electric bikes, and particularly as I was looking at one the other day, what that they haven't yet, or at least I'm not aware of, and I could plead ignorance here, of the use of regenerative braking. It seems like bikes, especially in our hilly parts of the world, regenerative braking would be awesome. got that DC motor, which is also a generator sitting there in the hub. What do you know about that?
All right. Let's go to Pete. Thanks.
It's an excellent question. None of the ones that I have seen have it, but I do understand that there are some that actually do have it, but I have not yet seen it. But, you know, one of the things about turning a DC motor into a generator, I had tried to do this on my original EV conversion, and it's not quite that simple. It requires a couple of extra steps in there, and perhaps that's the reason that we're not going there. You have to be able to apply some voltage back in order to make it work. And
it's a cost thing, too. Yeah. I think with bikes in particular, you have a lot of sensitivity around price. So adding that additional layer of technology, which would be great, is just maybe not quite there for the average bike buyer.
Probably would add some hardware and some weight, too, I'm thinking, to be able to use regenerative braking.
I would think so.
So we're talking about your braking actually generating electricity back into the battery.
Right. Well, like on my car, it's got an AC motor, and the regeneration is part of the package.
Really?
And so when I go downhill or am slowing down, it's putting power back. It's not a lot, but it's putting some back.
You know, I have to admit, I've seen your car a fair amount because Pete is also, among other things, an Ashland Lions member and a JPR volunteer. So we see him during fun drives. There's a gigantic circuit breaker in the middle of the dashboard on your Met. What's that about?
Well, you know, it's something that I installed in both of my vehicles, and it's just a fail-safe switch that I can cut the power if something goes wrong. I've never had to use it, but I use it as the main power turn off, and what it does is it breaks the circuits so that it isn't going to be a problem if I push the wrong button, for instance.
So no damage components in it?
No.
Okay.
No.
So the vehicle show on Saturday, 10 to 4 at ScienceWorks. You already mentioned no admission. A canned food donation would be nice. And then will the Metropolitan be there?
Oh, the Metro will be there, along with a couple of Teslas this year and Melissa's farm dog. And we invite anyone who's got an electric vehicle to bring their car to the show, because what we want to do is be able to show that owners have these cars and be able to talk to them, to talk to the visitors about their experiences. And so come on along if you want to.
All right. So the stories you didn't share today, you can share at the second annual electric and hybrid show at ScienceWorks Hands-On Museum, Saturday, September 12th, 10 in the morning until 4 in the afternoon. Pete Jorgensen will be there. Melissa Brandau, too. Thank you both for joining us today on the Jefferson Exchange.
Thanks for having us.
Okay.